Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 106 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltacka. Thanks for joining me again. Today in the podcast, I got a lot of stuff to cover. I've got three announcements, one really big, one fairly big, and then one is more of a housekeeping, but still something new to talk to you about. And I'm going to bring on Wilson as usual to help me with some of that stuff. I'm also going to be giving you a health update because I have some news about that. I won't wait till the end this time. I'll probably tell you right away. But before we get started, I want to thank our sponsors, Vortex, the force of optics. So thanks to our friends over at Vortex Canada for continuing to support the podcast. We really appreciate the help. You can check out all their great gear over at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. And also another huge thank you to our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers chapter of Safari Club International. We really appreciate all of their support. You can check out all their really great work at saskriversseci.com. That's saskriversseci.com. All right. Now, what have I got here? First is the, well, you know what? Before the health update, in the last episode, I realized that there was 22 minutes of black video in there, right? Nothingness. And that's because I had moved something off the timeline when I was rendering, like I do a little bit of editing of the podcast and then I render it. And I didn't see it. I was in a rush. If you remember, I think I might have even mentioned the podcast. That one took me 2 days. That was a really tough one for whatever reason. There's a variety of reasons for that. But, you know, I rendered it. I put it up there. I do YouTube, a separate video on Facebook, on Rumble now. I'll talk about that. It's one of the minor announcements. And by the time I did all that stuff, I was like, I got to get out of here, you know, out of the studio. I go home, and right away I get an email from Stafford Steve. He's like, do you realize there's 22 minutes of dead air in here? I'm like, I'm not changing it. Okay. It's too much work. And people be like, what happened to the video? Were you guys taken down, you know, or something like that. Right. I'm not doing that. So, sorry about that, but, minor, technical error. So this one, I'll make sure that there's, I already deleted a thing off the timeline ahead of time because I was like, I don't want that to happen again. But the health update. Okay. So the reason why I'm doing this at the beginning, I know that not everybody's interested in listening to the podcast, listen to my health problems, right? But I did get some news. So it's been, you guys are watching this tomorrow, my time, which is Thursday, typically. So the next day, which is Friday, would be 13 weeks since my last radiation treatment. So at 3 months, you get a PET scan. So that was a week ago last Tuesday for me. Anyway, it's irrelevant. I did get the results. So you get a PET scan 3 months from your last radiation treatment. And then that's really the most important test result to see whether or not whatever you did in your first treatment of your cancer worked. And if it didn't, that's really bad news. Probably the worst news. So anyway, I got that PET scan and my results are a little bit complicated. So I'll tell you right now really quick. So if you remember, I didn't do the chemotherapy. That's what was recommended was radiation, a staggering amount of radiation and chemotherapy. I didn't do the chemo because of my situation. I have one kidney and, you know, I got to protect that kidney or I might as well be dead. So I'm like, I'll take an extra chance, spin the wheel, just to keep that kidney going. And then there's some other really significant and highly likely side effects that come with cisplatin, which is what they would use on me. So I took a chance with my life by not doing the chemotherapy. And that would have upped my chances 14%, if you remember, from 80% to be alive in 5 years to 94%. So anyway, the radiation itself, basically radiation doesn't burn the cancer out. What it does is it corrupts the DNA in cancer cells. So when cancer grows, basically the cell divides. So from one cell divides into two, and now you have two cancer cells and that cell divides as well. So basically what radiation does is it corrupts the DNA in that cell. So, and this is just my understanding, I'm not an oncologist, but basically that when it divides, those two cells die. And that process takes a while. So either the cancer cell, if it doesn't divide, it dies of old age. If it does divide, it dies because of the corrupted DNA. That's my understanding of how it works. Anyway, because I didn't do chemo, my results, the effect of the radiation, it's a little bit slower. So, because you'd have some cells that would die, and you know, because of the chemotherapy, and as the chemotherapy also acts as kind of a radio sensitizer, helps the radiation work a little bit better. But if just with the radiation, it takes longer for this stuff to go away. Anyway, that's the setup. Sorry it took so long. So in my case, basically, it's fairly good news. There's no cancer in my throat, which is the worst possible thing that could be right now, is that there was cancer, still active cancer in my throat, because the next card is immunotherapy, which is the last card, or surgery, which is life-altering surgery, so dramatic that I might not have done it, which obviously that brings a whole bunch of other problems with that, right? It would drastically reduce the amount of time that I would actually be alive. So anyway, so there's no active cancer in my throat, which is great news. I was really happy to hear that as well. There's two lymph nodes in play here. The one that was up under my jaw, that one is clear now. No active cancer, no residual malignancy, basically, is how they put it. And this lump here, there's a little bit of activity in it. Now, you can still see the lump a little bit, but it's gone down about 80%. So that's good. There's a little bit of activity in there. And what my radiation oncologist, his position on it is, he's not going to recommend surgery. If he was worried about it, he would make an appointment. I'd be getting surgery within probably a week. That's like really urgent surgery, because it's like, oh, it's not dying, or it's on its way back. So he says, he goes, because you didn't do chemotherapy, I think basically what it is just taking a little bit more time for it to resolve, right? For all those cells to divide and die. So he's not worried about it, but we're scheduling another PET scan in 3 months. So all that to say, he thinks it's going to be resolved 3 months from now, but you can't be sure. And so I had a bit of a relapse. I still have issues right now, but I have had a bit of a relapse a few weeks ago, and I was convinced that it was going the wrong way, that I was going to get really bad news. And if that was the case, like I say, I probably wouldn't be alive for that long. I would have only my immunotherapy card to play. Surgery card too, but I mean, the big card is immunotherapy, and it doesn't work on everybody, right? So it's getting a little stressful, right? You know, when you're getting down to it. So anyway, this was excellent news for me. I think that that's great. But because I've been kind of through a lot over all this stuff, I'm not going to, like, I don't take anything for granted, right? I'm taking life 1 year at a time. And because I think that's wise for me, so, you know, mentally, obviously. And so this is great news. But the big news will be 3 months from now. Will the cancer resolve entirely, or will I have to play that immunotherapy card? Because that's or the surgery card, but the immunotherapy, like, that's the last card in your hand. And hopefully that works and saves your life, or it might not work and it, you know, whatever. So I'm saving that card till I really need it. And then I'm throwing that sucker down, which is the Hail Mary. So I guess like I said, it was complicated, but it's heading in the right direction, and I'm a lot better. As you can see, my beard's coming back, which is great. Cover this ugly mug up. And I have a bald spot on the back of my head here, because, you know, I was getting hit with the radiation through the back, right, forward, and then from the front, kind of thing. And that's almost gone. So a lot of this is still all smooth. So there's no beard growing on this side of my neck. I think that'll be the last thing to come back, if it does at all. But I'm starting to look like me again. I'm starting to feel like me again. Still got blood in my mouth from time to time when I wake up, and, you know, my taste is still off. My eating's still not perfect. Obviously, it's going to take about 6 months in total for me to recover from the radiation. Fully, they say 18 months, but I'm like, I don't know, whatever. I'm thinking 6 months. That's what other people have told me. And I just want to thank all of you for your prayers and all of your help, right? The immunotherapy card that I still have in my hand, thank goodness. We'll talk about that if I have to play it in 3 months. And yeah, I just want to thank you. I also, and a lot of people reached out to help me with their experience. And I just, you know, I can't thank you enough for all of your support. And, you know, I realize every day how lucky I am, what a position I'm in, to have all of you worrying about my situation. And, you know, it's a really difficult thing for anybody to go through. But I will tell you, I'm just really lucky, and it's really helped to have all of you out there. And I just want to say thank you to Priscilla for sending me a t-shirt, and for the really nice note that she wrote. And because I, you know, so many people send me messages that I can't respond to them all. And I, you know, I have a lot of things going on, and I don't always remember to thank every individual person. Also Brenda for offering to send me some products that she thought might help. I never got that done because I'm moving as well. I sold my house, and I got a lot of stuff going on, and, you know, with the cancer and also working, I never really stopped working for the CCFR throughout this. I didn't work as hard, but I still kind of was on that because I need to, right? It's important. Keeps life normal for me, and it keeps us pushing our, you know, goals forward as well, right? And I need to do that for myself too, right? So anyway, thanks to Brenda and Priscilla for those things too. Okay. I also did my cross-examination. The Attorney General of Canada's representative cross-examined me last Friday, and I think it went really well. I was prepared for the most rough, most down and dirty, horrible cross-examination, because that's my job, is to be prepared for those things. So I was completely prepared, and it was only like an hour and 10 minutes. So it was quite surprising, but it's over. I'm happy about that. I think I did okay. I don't think I heard our case, and I just, I didn't get a chance. They didn't give me a platform to have all of the things I wanted read into the record, but that's okay. That's their job too, is to know when not to have an affiant, someone that's done an affidavit, an affiant given a platform. So anyway, that's done. And look forward to our cross-examinations of all of their affiants coming up. And those will be very interesting. Now, this is the announcement. Where would I find all those affidavits? Where would I find all these court documents? You know, all these court cases go forward on behalf of different communities, and certainly the gun community. Where can I find all this stuff? Well, we decided, since it's not me that's financing this court case, it's not really the CCFR that's financing it, it's all of you and what you guys pried out of your wallets in tough times to give to us to go and spend money on a really highly competent legal team, just to see if that would work, right? If that would make a difference. If it does, it does. If it doesn't, at least we know we tried that. We didn't sit here with no guns going, oh, if we only spent more on a legal team, or, oh, if we only just, you know, did a march, if we only did mainstream media advertising, if we only did, you know, if we had our own TV show, if we only did all of these things that we're trying, at least we know that we tried everything. We fought to that last day. We fought that. We made them fight for every inch that they took. Or maybe one or a few of these things came together and worked. They were the right combinations at the right time of the right things, and it worked, and we saved our guns. We don't know, but we have to try. So anyway, because you guys paid for, I'm gonna bring this up in a second, because you guys paid for this court case, then you should know exactly what's going on with it at any given time. So what we did is we created a website, and that web address is propertyjustice.ca. That's propertyjustice.ca, and here's what it looks like. All right, so when you go there, when you go there, you will be sent to the homepage. You can see that we have our property justice video there. If you can send people, if they want to know why we're taking the government to court and why it's so important that we do, you can see in that video in 2 minutes why we're doing that, because we're trying to establish whether or not Canadians actually have property rights. Then on the website, you can go to case news, all the news about our case. So you can see everything that's going on. This is your place to go if you want to know what's going on. Then you can click on court schedule. There's the court schedule right there. If there's any updates or whatnot to be done, we'll do that there. Then you can go to court docs, and here is everything. Actually, you know what? Let me walk that back. Not every single document is here, because there's documents that might not be relevant, because they're like one page letters or, you know, whatever, stuff like that. Or they're things that people have asked us not to put up here because there's personal information in there. But you will have the overwhelming majority of these court documents. So you've got the Attorney General of Canada, all their affidavits. So you can read, right, everything that these folks have said on behalf of the government to justify banning firearms. Okay. Then you can go down and you've got our affidavits. There's mine. There's Ryan Stacey's. Everyone's here. Anyone that we had a part in playing in formulating the affidavit. Then you've got cross-examination transcripts. So these are the ones we had from the injunction application. And as the transcripts from my cross-examination and from, you know, examination of anyone on their side, you'll find that here as they become available. We'll put them there because it's public information. And then some procedural documents. So you have the certified copy of our notice of application. You have We objected to Murray Smith being an unbiased expert witness. So stuff like that, you have those there too. About why we're suing the government. This came from the announcement that we did. And of course, you can donate directly to the court legal challenge if you want to do that, if you want to support it. So this is all your stuff. Now you have access to it. And as more documents come available, I will update that website and make sure that they are there available for you to download at your convenience. So that website is live right now. You can go there and download everything, keep it in a folder and go ahead and read. One of the things I think that will come out of that is that you'll see how much information, you'll see why court cases take so much time, right? And why, because there's so much information. Like my affidavit, I think is 200 pages. And the information that I wrote that I wanted to have on the record is like, I don't know, maybe eight or nine or 10 pages or something like that. And the rest of them are exhibits. So everything I say has to have an exhibit, evidence that says, here's what I'm saying is true. So if I say, hey, I had my BCL coyote prohibited because the government said, oh, you have plenty of choices out there for non-prohibited replacements. Okay, fine. I'll go lay down $1,500 to replace a rifle that I have in my gun safe right now that is completely appropriate for sports shooting use, which is an AR-15. I'll go spend $1,500 because you think that that helps, you know, reduce mass shootings. And then while it was in transit to me, it became prohibited. It's become an unnamed variant is what the court is calling it. Just prohibited, probably a variant of something, prohib. So by the time it got to me, it was prohibited. In fact, that the action of me receiving it when it was prohibited was probably a criminal offense. I was ensnared in what the RCMP and the government are doing. So they're saying, yeah, go buy a replacement. Oh, you know what? Maybe we'll just prohibit it when it's on the way to your house. No, go ahead and buy it. They've said it since. Why don't you go ahead and buy another replacement then? It's like, oh, okay. Is this the game we're playing? And they just prohibited another shotgun. I'm not going to talk about it too much on the podcast today because we have so much stuff to go through, but they just prohibited, what was it? I forget, the Hooglu XR7, I believe, or XM7. It's, you know, one of those semi-automatic shotguns, you know, very similar to other ones that were newly designed shotguns, but now prohibited. Yeah, they just did that a week ago, right? No, December 6th, they prohibited that. Told nobody. If it weren't for Armalytics and everybody else in the community keeping an eye on the FRT every single day to figure out what's prohibited, you would never know. You would sell that non-restricted firearm to someone else committing a serious, like life-destroying criminal offense. This is all, it just seems like it's a big joke to them. It's not a joke to us. So anyway, all that to say, when every time that there's a new transcript or what have you, and all of the exhibits and stuff, I will upload them and keep that website updated. So now you have one place for all that stuff, documents, the schedule, news, all that stuff will be right there. Propertyjustice.ca. It's all of the stuff that you bought when you paid for when you support the CCFR. The next podcast, I just recorded my talk with Tracy Wilson just now. And I couldn't remember when the next podcast is coming, but it's going to be 3 weeks from now instead of two, just to give me a little bit of time to catch up with some stuff and maybe even take a couple days off, obviously. So the next podcast is going to be on January the 13th. Okay. And the reason why I mention that is I have probably the biggest announcement. That was the Medium announcement that I just gave you, the new court doc website, propertyjustice.ca. The really big announcement is coming with Tracy. And I have one that's even bigger than that, but I can't make that announcement because there's some contracts that are involved in that announcement, and I haven't got those signed yet. So unless I have signed signatures on contracts, unless things are in place so that they can't be derailed or interfered with, some things I can't announce. So stay tuned to January the 13th when I'll have that information. I'll make that announcement there. The magnitude of that announcement may change because there's something I'm negotiating right now that's really interesting. I think it's really big, but I have to make sure that I'm able to do it. But if I can't do that, I have something fairly big to put in its place. It has to do with television. So anyway, that's the hint that you're going to get before Christmas. But I've spoke long enough. Let's get Tracy on the Skype and we'll get that other announcement as well as some other news. All right, on the Skype, I've got Wilson.
Kiltaka.
Merry Christmas to you. You're looking very Christmassy today.
Yes, thank you. I'm wearing red and I've got my snowflake earring, which I only ever wear at Christmas or liberal conventions. So
yeah,
feeling
for sure.
Festive.
Okay, we've got a lot of stuff to cover. So let's get right at it. The first thing I'm going to have to go through just because I've got the list, but this is one of our big announcements that I promised today and we are announcing it. So a couple of times during the past, actually it was almost right as soon as the CCFR started, one of the projects that we always wanted to do is a national day for gun owners. So it morphed into a national range day for a while and then it just didn't happen. And there's a number of reasons why it didn't happen, but this is what we are going to make happen. Now it's a little bit different than we talked about in the past, but I'm going to tell you the details. So for sake of looking for the right name, we chose National Range Day. So here's the details. So what is this day? This day is a day to recognize the 2.3 million licensed gun owners who responsibly, legally, and safely own and use firearms in Canada. That's the description. So it's all things good law-abiding gun owners. We could wait forever for the government to say, well, hey, this community of 2.3 million people, this is a worthy community of some of the most vetted, safest, responsible citizens in the country. They deserve their day. Nope. We'll wait till the cows come home. They won't. It's 365 demonization of people who would get a firearms license. And if we're going to ever have a day to recognize our good Canadian culture, gun culture, then we've got to do it. And here's how we're going to do it. So Tracy and I racked our brains for about an hour and a half to figure out what the day was. So I will disclose that to you right now. It is the first Saturday in June each year. So this year it will be June the 4th, 2022. That's what we decided. And there's a number of things that went into it. And, you know, I don't want to get into a big discussion about that, but we really put some work in to figure out what the best possible day for all these different reasons was. And here's how we're going to do it. So the CCFR created and trademarked a logo. It's a couple of different logos, but all with the same theme. The whole point is we've trademarked this, and anybody in Canada, any organization at all, and has an unrestricted perpetual license to use this logo. It's not CCFR colors. It's not bound to the CCFR. Everyone gets a license for free to do whatever they want as long as they don't alter the logo, so that the logo stays consistent and it's recognizable. So the reason why we did this and all the other things I'm going to tell you about really quick is this is not the CCFR doing it. The CCFR will use its resources, considerable resources, to give this a big push to get it started. But we purposefully made none of this stuff is recognizable to the CCFR because we want other gun organizations to use the logo, to put their name beside it. We want wildlife federations to use the logo and promote the day and put their name beside it. Use the logo as if it were theirs. We want everybody to push together to create this, because if it's a CCFR day, that's all it will be. And if the CCFR is not around, it's just going to putter out. And we've seen other days that the community tried to push that have just petered out because not everybody's on the same page. So we've created a couple of variations of the logo for use for everyone. It's protected so it can't be misused. And everyone that wants to use it gets an unrestricted perpetual license, as I mentioned. We're going to create a variety of different graphics, social media filters, and they're free for everyone to use. We're going to create a couple of templates and whatnot for those things. We also are going to encourage all gun owners to share a personal story and pictures and all that kind of stuff on every social media platform that they can, just to promote the positive aspects of every aspect of gun culture. Whether you are a hunter, like, oh, hunting is my life, I've done it, I have fond memories, I've done it since I was a kid. Here's me taking a friend of mine hunting and they became a hunter later, or I'm a sports shooter, recreational shooter, it's everything to me. And here's why it's so great and why people should, have the wrong story or should get involved. It's all about educating the public and celebrating our heritage, which is, it's more valid. Our heritage and our culture is more valid than other things, other groups and organizations or pursuits that have national days. We count too, okay? We shouldn't be ashamed of it. And public education has been a CCFR thing, and that's why we're going to push this really hard to get it going. So all over social media, everybody can do their part. We're going to reach out to every club in Canada that we have contact information for and encourage them not only to observe the day and to use their club mailing list to mail out and say, hey, you know, don't forget, you know, 2 months from now, it's National Range Day. It's, remember, it's a Canadian thing. And, but we'd also encourage them to hold an open house where they can bring people in, give them a chance to shoot guns, to talk to gun owners, and maybe even work with some Canadian firearm safety course instructors in the general, in the local area, maybe to give discounts if people sign up that day to do the firearm safety course and become a gun owner, an actual legal POW holder. Or you can, your range can run a ladies day. We want these, we want every range in Canada to do something on that day, because that's what's going to make this work. We're going to be encouraging all the wildlife federations to observe it, to push, and to push that message through down to all of their affiliates, that this is the day that everyone has to step up and participate. So, I got an email just a couple of weeks ago. Somebody's like, I can't stand sitting on my hands anymore. I need something to do, right? I got to do something. What can I do? How can I help the CCFR? And it's like, well, the CCFR, we sort of have all the help that we need, because we're not doing, you know, gun shows and stuff right now because of everything else that's going on and whatnot. Here's something that every single gun owner can do. You wanted something to do. Here's what you can do. You can take this message now. You can go to your gun club. You're going to say June 4th this year, it's going to be National Range Day. I'd like to organize the open house, or I'd like to put a committee together to do this, or I'd like to do our social media outreach for that day. There's so much to do to bring this national day to its full potential that every single gun owner can play a part in this. Even if you're not playing a part at your gun club, you can say, I'm going to take it upon myself to bring four people that have never shot a gun to that range day. I'm going to tell them now in advance that I know the date and tell them to keep that date open. So there's a lot there. The CCFR will create a press kit. We're going to notify the media. We will probably send out an actual newswire press release. We're also we're going to create a website. We've already purchased nationalrangeday.ca. That website will not be a CCFR site. It will use all of the visual elements of the logo that we created for this, the unrestricted logo. And it will be a repository for every gun club that is holding an event, and all the information and links and everything can send them to the CCFR, and we will actually administrate that. Other gun organizations can send that information, what they're doing those days, and we will administrate that and post it for them too. We'll admin that website for free. We'll have different pages to say, here's what you can do. Here's some resources that you can, that are available to you if you want to do a range day, or you want to do this, that, or the other thing, or contact for the media, or here's how you would approach a radio station and put this event on their community calendar. All of that stuff. We will do all that work. Now, the website isn't up yet. We weren't able to get that finished in time for this podcast. I wanted to announce it though, but we did get a logo done, a couple of logo variations. We did secure the domain name. We have hosting for that, but it's probably going to be another 4 weeks until that site, maybe 5 weeks until that site's complete. Okay, but it'll get completed by the end of January, no matter what. And we will be pushing this all the way right up until and including the day. Okay, we're looking at actually doing television commercials to observe a national day for gun owners, because we can do that. You've supported us enough. Depending on what the court cases start, those costs are ramping up again, and we got some other projects too, but I think we'll be able to afford to do national advertising on mainstream media if they don't ban us from doing it. So that's another thing that we're going to do. We're thinking of maybe even holding a march, not a protest, but a celebration, a national celebration, of our culture and our community. So very different than a protest or a march against regulation, right? So, and that's the end of the list. There's a couple of other things that I can't talk about, but we want organizations like IPSC, like IDPA, DCRA, you know, your local three gun. We want every organization, every gun owner to play an active part of it, and every firearm organization and every wildlife federation, because if we all do that, it's not tied to any one of us, and we all make a commitment to make sure that we do every possible promotional thing that we can do every single year. It'll be so big that the mainstream media won't be able to stop it. The government can't stop it. Everyone in Canada will know that June 4th, at least this year, it's the first Saturday of June every year, June 4th is National Range Day in Canada. We're not going to wait for them to hand it to us or grant it to us, wait for a handout from these people. We're going to do it ourselves. But every single gun owner has to play a part and participate in it, or it's just a bunch of talk. So we'll give it that big nudge. We'll give it a big push. but we need everybody to join us on it. And I think it's going to be one of the most important things that we could do, because it will result in educating the population about what gun culture really is in Canada, not what that malevolent creature Bill Blair or anyone else wants to fool Canadians into thinking it is. So anyway, that's the big announcement for National Range Day.
That's very, very exciting. I'm looking forward to this so much. You know this so much. I love my events. So this is going to be a perfect opportunity for the entire community to sort of get behind something and give it a push and show that we can be united on stuff like that.
Yeah,
so, really
super exciting. Okay, next thing, you have Justin Trudeau, brushed the sleep out of his eyes, rolled out of bed. And he's like, oh my God, the country's been, the election was 2 months ago. I better get some mandate letters out. I'm not complaining, especially the gun ones. But anyway, they came out. What happened with Marco Mendicino's?
So 87 days post-election, Justin Trudeau did get the mandate letters out to the ministers. There's a bunch of stuff in Marco's because, of course, public safety is a big portfolio. We're going to focus on the bullet points that pertain to firearm regulation for gun owners. So just to run through them real quick, we've got the continued implementation of C-71, which, of course, is Bill Blair's mess. That's the license verification measure and the record keeping at the businesses. You know, they want to keep your private information for 20 years on file. So he'll have to finish that off. They want to make it mandatory for owners to sell their banned firearms back to the government, which doesn't make sense because that's not where we bought them. But sell them to the government for destruction or have them rendered inoperable at the government's expense. Now, that language is a little different, because what they're talking about there is deactivation, which is a legal deactivation is quite expensive. They've never included that in the at the government's expense part. So we'll have to get some clarification on that. Next, we've got requiring the permanent alteration of long gun magazines so that they can never hold more than five rounds. So what they mean there is they're talking about pinned mags are not good enough anymore. I'm not entirely sure what's involved in making a magazine permanently altered.
Yeah, well, the regulation right now is that they have to be permanently altered, either by riveting, crimping, epoxy, or swaging. So I believe those there might be one I'm missing. But anyway, the regulation already applies. They don't know how this is going to happen. This provision itself is just a bunch of word salad. This is just to appease the irrational screeching voices in Canada. There's like, what about these high capacity magazines? Like, well, they're standard capacity magazines, number one. And number two, gangsters don't use 5-round mags or 10-round mags in a handgun, right? Multiple victim public shooters don't use limited capacity magazines. They don't. Anyway, this is the biggest scam of all of it. But anyway, they don't know what they're doing, so no sense for us to get caught up on it on the mandate letter anyway. Well, I'm sure we'll hear more from it.
Yeah, and then they're also going to ban the sale or transfer of magazines capable of holding more than the legal number of bullets. So
they can't hold the legal number more than the legal number of bullets now, but whatever.
Right. So I don't know. This stuff already exists, so it's kind of crazy. Providing financial support to provinces and territories that implement a ban on handguns across their jurisdiction. So this is some bribe money for provinces that are willing to do handgun bans on behalf of the government, which of course creates a US-style patchwork of different rules across different provinces, just like the states, where the laws vary state by state. So I don't know, Justin Trudeau apparently admires that US-style gun laws. Working with the Minister of Justice to introduce red flag laws to allow the immediate removal of firearms if a person is a threat to themselves or others. This, of course, already exists. There is already measures to do that. I'm not entirely sure what this means.
More so BS. I think this is specifically what Alan Drummond and his friends wanted to. They want to be able to take your guns, right? They want to be able.
Yes.
That's a big thing, right? They want doctors or teachers to be able to take people's guns or to tell the RCMP to do it, whenever they think. It's really these laws always existed, but whatever.
Yeah. So I don't know. So basically a lot of stuff where, again, we're, you know, burdening gun owners, over-regulating the system, not providing any support to the provinces for CFOs that are going to be overwhelmed with the work. And then there's one little measure here amongst all that stuff, implementing the gang prevention and intervention program to provide direct funding to municipalities and indigenous communities. So there's a lot of focus, as usual, on legal gun owners and making sure that they've just, you know, got their boots to our head here, making sure that they're beating us up. And then they're going to implement the gang prevention and intervention program. So a little bit of work there on root cause. So,
well, yeah, it's
disappointing to say the least, but totally unsurprising.
Yeah, it's hilarious, right? I mean, they've been promised $500 million to guns and gangs back in 2015. That never came. Like $90 million was distributed when Bill Blair ended his reign. I mean, we got that information directly from his office. And now they're like, oh yeah. And then it went from 500 million to 327.43 million or something like that. Then it just went, it was 90 million that kind of rolled out, and who knows where that money went, because they wouldn't share any of the funding agreements with us.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you could never do that, right? Like transparent, open by default, I think that was what Justin Trudeau said his government would. It's like, it's doublespeak, right? You say the exact 180 degree opposite of what you're actually doing, and people are there, it handicaps them, right? They're like, you know, and they get confused, and they just want to go with what authority told them. So again, completely different from the truth. All of those measures you just talked about, all about licensed gun owners, every single one of them, except the end, another promise to give the same money that they've been promising since 2015. So more BS from the liberals.
That's exactly
right. If I was anti-gun, I'd be freaking furious. But anyway.
Well, I can imagine they read this and they're like, what? That's it? Like, we need more.
They're not. Yeah. So, it's ridiculous. But the thing is, at the end of the day, they're the losers. We're the losers because the violence doesn't even touch the violence, right? There's nothing there that's going to make an impact on violence other than maybe the last thing, right? But anyway.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. We've got, so one of the other announcements, not a big announcement, but more of an administrative sort of announcement, which is obviously we're going to be facing social media censorship. It's increasing. As I mentioned, a couple of podcasts or in the last podcast or something, or in the sidebar or something, that we're put on post-approval on our closed group. I don't know if we're still on post-approval, are we?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, yep. Well, anyway, we had to diversify what we're doing. So we have a Rumble channel that I'm uploading all the podcasts and as much, whatever I upload to the YouTube channel will also go up on Rumble in case YouTube, they haven't bothered us, but in case they go funny on us and shut our channel down, we've made a 6-year investment into content on that channel. So we've got Rumble as a replacement for that. And then kind of a combination for Facebook and then sort of for Twitter is Minds. So I just wanted to share our new socials. If you go to Minds, I'm at Rod Giltak as one word. Tracy is at T Wilson Ottawa as one word.
Yep.
And then the CCFR's group is at the CCFR as one word. So you can follow us there. We're gonna do our best to try to create content, you know, take our content that we do from Twitter and Facebook and post it there so there's something going on there. But maybe, if anything, start an account, subscribe there, and if we ever go dark or something weird happens, you'll always be able to find us there. Or if you're sick of Facebook and all their garbage, you can go there now and participate. It'll just be a smaller group. But anyway, that's what we got there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you go to Rumble, all you need to do is search. Go to the search bar and type in CCFR. You'll find that the last 5 podcasts are there and the sidebar's there. And I think I upload just a couple other videos from YouTube just to put some content on there. So that's what's going on there.
Yeah. We'll run that in tandem with what we're already doing. It's sort of a backup plan, which a lot of people have been voicing concern about. And yeah, I'll be propagating all kinds of content that is on our socials now and make sure that it propagates over there to Minds. So,
yeah. I mean, that's, we tried MeWe before, but the problem is it's so much work. It's such a time sink right now just to be on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, right? Make content for YouTube.
It
and
is.
It's just to add more stuff like that. And it kind of splits your audience. And anyway, it'll be there in case we need it. And if you still want to just, if you just hate those big tech ones, and you want to go there, there'll be stuff there to share and to talk about. So anyways.
Yeah.
All right. A big thank you to our Twitter army who have been really, really quite active recently.
It's so funny. You know, I see stuff going on Twitter and I'm reading the tweets and the replies. And sometimes I think, wow, that's stuff that Rod and I say. And it's just, it's so great to have everybody sort of working in unison. We've been doing these cool Twitter spaces on Wednesday nights, which is a really neat, fun thing we've been doing. So you actually get to talk to each other. There's no video, so you can do it in your pajamas. But our Twitter army has just been so on point. And I find like the debate and the conversation is really getting refined. It's very satisfying. And I'm really, really proud of everybody.
Yeah. I mean, and everybody is, they're understanding the topic better. And I mean, this is part of the reason why it's sort of worth it for us to actually spend some time on social media. I don't do it very much, as you know, because I got projects I got to do and you have projects.
I'm terrible.
To do,
I live on but there.
You like it more than I do. So, you know, it's really important for us to have a presence there and to be posting things. And I know that some people are like, just disconnect from Twitter. Who cares what they say and whatever. But what happens is people in the firearms community and, you know, just the casual observer looks at those conversations and they're learning. They're looking at how irrational and how, you know, people, you know, anti-gunners dig their heels and it's like, well, more guns, more death. And it's like, well, I've just shown you studies and proven to you that that's not true. And they're like, nope, but more guns equal more. And it's like, okay, well, now you can see who's really telling the truth and who just keeps engaging in this, these intellectual gymnastics, mental gymnastics that try to just hold their point because it's ideological. It's not fact-based. So there's actually a lot of good that comes from all of that stuff. And we've really created some really great debaters out there that really understand their stuff. Of course, you know, we know some of the best ones. The Gun Muppet is awesome. That's an account that's really turned into something. I'll tell you, I retweet the Gun Muppet stuff more than I actually tweet my own stuff.
Yeah, he is a wonderful resource. And that's what I mean. A lot of people are investing time and effort into doing this. And you're right. It's discouraging sometimes when you have all these trolls coming at you. But here's the thing. When you're debating somebody online, we've said it before, it's the stuff that you're putting out there for them and the content and the facts and data and studies. It's not necessarily for their benefit. It's for everybody reading. You have an audience when you're on there debating. So even if you don't, you know, change the mind of that person that you're sort of going back and forth with, you have all kinds of people on Twitter in the public sphere who are reading this and absorbing it, and it's making a difference. So yeah, we're going to crank that up. I'm sure I know over the holidays, everyone will be spending time with family and whatever, but, I'll be on there still poking away, but it's great to see. And I'm just so thankful for all the support on there. It's just awesome.
Well, yeah. And just, and also, like I said, for the gun owners, right? I mean, they're getting really good, you know, because your own life, you talk to people and you're like, you know, and, you know, even just the basic anti-gun talking points kind of stop in your tracks. You're like, well, unless you get good at it and you understand and you can say, oh, it's funny they bring up that study because that's not what it says at all. You know, stuff like that, right? And go look at it. In fact, I'll bring it up on my phone. You can read it for yourself. You know, that kind of stuff. So anyway, just thanks to everyone that's put in so much time and endured so much frustration on there just to educate people and show them that that we're not speaking lies and hyperbole. We're actually talking about facts that we can prove. So all right. And I think we should just end it up by saying a huge thank you to everyone that supports the CCFR. And Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays and whatever you're celebrating. We just can't tell you enough how much we appreciate your support and all of your hard work out there that everyone doing what they can. And yeah, that's just Merry Christmas.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas to everybody out there. And
don't you have any jingle
enjoy
bells?
Some time off, get outside and get
Where's
to the
your
range.
Jingle bells? You got to have something. I know you have them.
I got
there.
Jingle
there
bells.
I knew you had them.
Of course I do.
All right. Well, Okay. And one more thing I will say while you're on with me, which is the date of the next podcast, just in case I forget when I do the closing, the date of the next podcast is going to be, I'm going to leave it 3 weeks this time. So it is going to be, you know what? I wrote that somewhere.
Yeah, you did.
Anyway, you know what? I'll do it in the ending. But yeah, we're going to wait. It's going to be a 3 week gap, and that'll give everybody a big rest. And again, Merry Christmas. Thanks everyone for their support. And thanks for your work, Tracy.
And you too, Rod. Thank you very
much. Awesome. All right. We'll see you soon. All right. That's going to do it for episode 106 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I really appreciate you guys coming back time and time again, watching the podcast. Make sure you share it. We want to get our audience as big and far and wide as possible, because we need to spread our message. There's strength in numbers. So, and this is one way that we can possibly do that. Next podcast, as I mentioned, January the 13th, I'm hoping to have a really big announcement on that podcast, but if not, I'll have a fairly good announcement on that podcast. And it's really important to me to always be that we're always doing work. And you guys know that, right? So as long as I'm around, as long as the CCFR is around, we won't let you down. We will always be working. So it's not all about podcasts and commiserating about our situation. It's actually doing something that will hopefully help us in the long run, whether it's growing our audience, getting more gun owners involved, making us stronger, then so that we can take it to the government in lawsuits and public relations and media and all the rest of that stuff. You know, it's all really important work. So I'm really looking forward to getting to announcing something really meaningful. Also, propertyjustice.ca. Go there for all things related to the court case, and that's where you'll find everything in one single place. Share it with your friends. Just say, hey, here's something that CCFR is doing. Consider becoming a member or shooting them a couple of bucks for the legal fund, because this is right here. This is what they're doing. It's not some abstract idea that was mentioned on a podcast or something. It's actually moving forward, and here's all the court docs. You can read them yourself, because a lot of interesting stuff comes out in the transcripts and comes out in the affidavits. And if you can prove that things in the affidavit are untrue, that's significant, actually. So anyway, read them for yourself. Have a look at them. They're kind of interesting. And don't forget to follow us on all of our new social channels. So on Minds, follow me at Rod Giltaka. Follow Tracy at T. Wilson Ottawa. Follow the CCFR at the CCFR. And also you can watch these videos on Rumble as well, if YouTube is not your thing. Anyway, thanks so much, everyone. Thanks for all of your help. Have a great holiday season. Have a great Christmas. Take care, and we will see you next time.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.